If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers. We don't go to Numbers very often. I told my wife, this is probably the favorite book of accountants, Numbers, I would think. She said if I told that joke, it would probably be the last time that I ever was here, so it's been nice knowing you. So book of Numbers, chapter 10, we will be this morning. Hopefully you found that by now. You'll follow along as I read, starting in verse number 29. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. And if you have a Bible and you can underline the next three words, come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he, that's Hobab speaking, said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be, that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same he will do to you. The Bible is really a book of invitations. Invitations. It's all through the Bible. God is inviting people to join him in where he is going and what he's doing. What a blessing that is when we think that God of the universe is inviting us to go with him. He's inviting us to go with him. In this passage, we see Moses talking to a man named Hobab. Hobab is another name for Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. How do we know that? Well, we know that from Judges 4:11. Now, Heber, the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. So Moses' father-in-law, Hobab, was also named Jethro. And we know that Hobab is called the father of Moses. We know it from Exodus 18. If you were here on Wednesday nights with us as we went through the first part of Exodus, Jethro had visited Moses back then and the children of Israel. And Jethro gave his son-in-law Moses some excellent advice on how he was handling things at that time. He was listening to all the complaints and all the issues that came up. And Jethro said, you've got to divide this out. You're trying to do too much. So we know that Moses was given that great piece of wisdom concerning how he was leading the people of Israel. So where are the Israelites in this passage that we just read, these few verses? Well, Israel is leaving their encampment that they're in at the foot of Mount Sinai. And while they were there, what happened? Well, they received the law. They built a tabernacle. They learned how to worship God. That's so important. As I was watching from the back of the chapel this morning, I was watching people worship this morning through the music. And it's so important that we have this special time up here for worship, preparing our hearts for the scriptures this morning. They were learning how to worship. Now they're breaking camp, and they're heading where? Well, they're heading toward Canaan. And before they leave, Moses takes time to invite his father-in-law, Jethro or Hobab, to go with them to their destination, where? The land of Canaan. He's inviting them to go, and in these four verses that we just read, there's special aspects of the invitation that we're going to see this morning. There's a word here for the church. And there's a word here for those that are outside the church, and there's a word here for everyone that's in this room this morning, you and me, each one of us this morning. So as we take time to look this morning at just these small verses, I want you to consider the title that I've given to this message this morning, The Invitation to Companionship. The Invitation to Companionship. You see, in verse number 29, number 1, Moses is saying, come share in our pilgrimage. I knew I was going to mess that word up, and I did it anyways. Pilgrimage. Verse number 29, it says, now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." You see, they're special people. Moses uses the word "us" and "we" in that verse. He is inviting his father-in-law to what? To join with a special group of people. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, were special. Why? Because they were a chosen people. Well, how do we know that? Well, we know that from Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." But you see, the people that were there, they were also a redeemed people. Oh, they were a redeemed people, and we see that in Exodus 15:13. "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." We, as the children of God, those that have us here this morning that know that we know that we know, well, we're special people as well. Oh, if you're a believer in Jesus this morning, you are special. You're special this morning. Why are you special? Because you've been chosen by him. You've been chosen by Jesus Christ. You're a special people. We are a special people this morning. You're special because you've been redeemed by Jesus. And we should shout amen to that, because that's what it's all about, folks. We've been redeemed. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, "But you are a chosen people." That "chosen" is chosen by God. People, God's children, his offspring. Did you think of yourself as offspring this morning, of Jesus this morning? You're his offspring. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Where? Into wonderful light. God's pure light. You see, we're a special people this morning. But you see, we also see Moses talking about a special place. Moses invited his father-in-law to join them on their journey to a land that God had promised them. Exodus 3:8, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of a land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the mosquito bites." They're not in there. I threw that in. I told you this was going to be my last time here, so. Might as well go all the way. But you see, it was a land of blessing and a land of victory. There's some 20 times that Canaan is referred to a land of milk and honey. It was a good place. It was their place. Moses says to his father-in-law, "Come with us." What does that mean? Well, it means that we're headed to that special place also. It's not a land of milk and honey, no. But it's a land of peace and joy and special, sinless perfection. Oh, it's a land of a blessing where none of the problems and the afflictions of earth can follow. Heaven is promised to us. My mother-in-law went to heaven on December 31st. At 4:15 in the afternoon. And I know that people were up there just waiting for her. And when she got there, they probably said, "What took you so long? Why did you wait? We're having a great time here." She got to see her husband and my family and all kinds of family up there. It's a special place. There's no more sorrow. That's what Moses is offering his father-in-law, this special place of milk and honey, but we even have that more special place to go. Heaven is promised to us. If you're that believer this morning, heaven is promised to us. But you see, Moses also speaks of a special privilege. A special privilege. You see, Hobab is not a part of that people. He's not part of the covenant of Israel, and he's not part of the promises that God made to Israel at that time. But Moses has the privilege to invite his father-in-law to join with Israel and share in their blessings. Moses has that privilege to say, come with us, and what belongs to us will be yours also. So he says, come to us. But how does that relate to us? But you see, it's our privilege also. It's our privilege also. We have the honor of inviting those around us to come with us. Salvation is that thing that's to be shared with others. We can give it away without lessening the value of what we have. What do I mean by that? Well, if I had $100, which I don't, and I gave $20 to five people, which I'm not going to, you see, I've given it away, and I don't have it anymore. It's gone. But you see, salvation, if I share my faith and I invite someone who doesn't know Jesus to come with us, I've given away what I have. I haven't lost anything. In fact, I've increased the value of what I have because I've laid up a treasure in heaven. I'll tell you a quick story. We were getting ready to go several years ago on Christmas vacation. We were packing our car, and my neighbor across the street rode his bicycle over. His name was Francis. Not a believer, but a good guy. And he came over, and Francis had been diagnosed with cancer. And Francis knew that he wasn't going to have a long time. And we were talking as I was packing the car. We sat on the front porch, and he sat there, and I said, how you doing, Francis? He said, I'm okay. I said, how are things going? And he says, well, I hope that I go to heaven. I said, well, Francis, you can know that you're going to go to heaven. You can know that you can know. You don't have to hope. And you know what? Francis prayed the prayer on my porch that day. And Francis is in heaven this morning, celebrating in heaven. You see, I gave away salvation, but I didn't lose anything. I just gave it away. And that's what we're to do also. That is what we are called to do. You see, the invitation, the thing of inviting people to come with us, oh, it's more than just a privilege. Folks, it's an obligation. It's an obligation that we share as we move through this life. We're commanded to share what we have with those that don't have the hope. We're commanded to invite people to come with us. Are you doing that? Are you taking those opportunities that Jesus gives you to share your faith? Oh, I hope you are. It's an obligation that we have. Number two, come share in our partnership, Moses is saying. Come join our family. In verse number 29, come with us. So Hobab is not part of Israel. He's outside of the covenant relationship with God. He is a lost man. He's cut off from all the blessings and the promises of the Lord. He has no hope of salvation apart from accepting Moses' invitation and becoming part of the nation of Israel. So Moses invites him to come join his family. And we know there's no salvation outside Jesus. You can't be saved by joining this church. You couldn't join this church anyways. We don't have a membership. There's no hope of being saved by following any rituals of the church, by being baptized. You have to accept Jesus Christ. Salvation can only be found in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no hope of heaven or salvation without that personal relationship. Do you have that this morning? Are you walking with Jesus this morning? Do you have that personal, close relationship? Oh, I hope you do. When the Bible says you must be born again, there's that moment in time, you see, that we look to Jesus by faith and we trust in him as that Savior. And when you do that, you see, you immediately become part of the family. We do that on radio every Sunday night at the end of the program. We did it last Sunday night. Anthony read a prayer, prayed a prayer right on the radio. And if there was someone listening and they prayed that prayer and they meant it in their heart, they were saved right then. Are we inviting people to come with us? You see, as a family member, we're entitled to the rights and the privileges of when we become a child of God. My two kids, my daughter and my son, have keys to our house. And my new daughter-in-law has a key to my house. And my future son-in-law has a key to our house. And they're invited to come in and take whatever they want. I hope they don't take a lot of food because, you know, it's food. They can provide their own food, so, you know. But they're allowed to come in, take what they want. You see, we're adopted into his family. When my son married his wife, Tiffany, she became our daughter-in-law. She was adopted into our family. And when my future son-in-law, Tyler, marries my daughter, he'll be adopted into our family. That word adoption is such a special word to me. You see, my daughter works for an organization called 4Kids, and she works with foster kids and adoptions, and she sees kids being adopted all the time, kids that have no hope. I just heard last night that friends of ours, they fostered a little girl at 2 days old, and now they're looking to adopt her. What a blessing that is. That little girl who had nothing, to be adopted into a family, to have all the rights and the privileges of that family. But you see, that's what we have when we accept Jesus Christ. We're adopted into the family with the privileges and the rights that come with it. And the obligation, you see, I'm going to go back to that. We have the obligation to share Jesus Christ with our friends and our family and our neighbors and those that we come across, and to pray with somebody, plant the seeds, maybe somebody else will water it. That's all we do. We plant seeds. We do it every Saturday morning at convalescent work. We plant seeds. We've seen people come to know Jesus Christ and then go to heaven a couple months later. But we're planting seeds. And that's what it's all about. Are you planting seeds? Are you planting seeds? Moses also said, come join our fellowship. Moses is telling Hobab, if you come join with us, we're going to treat you right. God is blessing us, and we're going to share those blessings with you. We won't hurt you, but we're going to do our best to be a blessing to you. Moses is saying these two things. You need us. If Hobab wants to be saved and enjoy the blessings of the Lord, then he's going to have to go with Israel. But Moses is also saying, we need you in verse number 31. So Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. Interesting statement. You see, the desert was Hobab's home territory. And so he knew where the best campsites were going to be. He knew where the best trails could be found. He knew where the watering holes were. Moses said, you're a blessing. We will be a blessing to you, and you will be a blessing to us. Come with us. You see, when we invite those to come with us, to receive Jesus Christ, we're offering them more than a get-out-of-hell free card. You know, if you play Monopoly, you get that get-out-of-jail-free. Well, we're doing more than offering them that get-out-of-hell-free card. Yes, we are offering them eternal life and salvation. We're promising more than just blessings after this life is over. We should let them know you need us and we need you. Why do people need us? Well, the church should be able to offer some things that can't be found anywhere in this world. Three things that I thought of. Someone who genuinely cares for us. The church should be that. Oh, the church should be called this church. And I love to proclaim this church as a church that you can call home. And I hope that is the way you feel. This is a church you can call home, that you can come here and you can share with us your burdens and your trials, and we can pray for you and be there as part of a family for you. Number two, someone who bear and carry the burdens. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That word carry means to bear what is burdensome, to sustain, to uphold, support. You're going through that difficult time right now. Let us come alongside and pray for you and bear those burdens. You see, it refers to both physical and spiritual needs. We're to pray for one another and get under that load with them and help them carry the burden. We're called to do that. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert." And I love this part, "and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Wednesday night, we had a prayer time here, and we prayed for our church, and we prayed for people at our church. It was a special time. We're to carry others' burdens. And then we're to show people unconditional love. Matthew 22:39 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." People that come here, and I hope you do, I hope you find fellowship and acceptance and family, and that you can call this a place you can call home. You see, when God saves a sinner, he gives that saved sinner the Holy Spirit. And along with the Spirit of God comes the gifts of the Spirit. God uniquely gifts each one of us with different gifts. And when somebody comes here to our fellowship, they should be willing to share those gifts. And we have so many people here who share their gifts in worship, in video, in sound, in setup, in greeters, children's ministry, hospitality, convalescent ministry. People have different gifts. And it's such a blessing to see when people use those gifts. Our church needs to continue to say, "Come with us. Come with us." Number three, come share in our promises. Moses is saying to Hobath, "Come share in our promises." Moses speaks with his father-in-law, tells him the Lord has promised good things to Israel. He's inviting his father-in-law to come, to share those great blessings that God has promised to give Israel. And when we say to someone, "Come with us," we're inviting them to take those great promises that God has promised us. Moses is saying, "Come share the promises of a home." Just as the wilderness was not that final destination for Israel, they were wandering through the wilderness on the way to Canaan. You see, the world that we live in now is not our final home. We're just passing through, folks. We're passing through. We're headed to a much better land. And we see that in the book of Revelations. It's a land of worship. It's a land of worship where believers will just praise their Redeemer. It's a land of wonders. In Revelations, we see walls of jasper and gates of pearl and foundations of precious stones and streets made of transparent gold. We see all that. We see the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And you see, that's what will make heaven a land of just wonderful beauty and wonderful glory. And it's a land of wellness. In Revelations 21, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no sickness, no death. The problems and the burdens of life have no effect there. We saw my mother-in-law go to heaven. We saw Shirley Stefanik just go to heaven. They're up there rejoicing. They're probably in what's called the newbies club up there because they just got there. That's the gospel according to me. That's not in the Bible. Again, it's my last Sunday here, so. But you see, my mother-in-law, who had to use a walker and was losing her memory, that's all gone. She's rejoicing up there. Shirley's rejoicing in heaven this morning. Yes, we miss them. But we know for sure that if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we are going to see them again. We're going to walk with them again on streets of transparent gold, and we're going to praise Jesus, and we're going to say, wow, it's so good to see you again, but we're here to praise Jesus. Another promise that Moses has given his father-in-law, come share the promise of hope. In verse number 29, it says, we'll give it to you, is filled with that promise. Moses is inviting Hobab to rest on the promises of the Lord. Moses is saying there is hope for tomorrow. The Lord himself has promised us that there's better things down the road. There's that hope for the believer. The world that we live in, it's filled with a place of heartaches and trials and troubles. I know we all go through them. We all have our difficulties. There's sickness, there's death, there's separation, there's hardships. But praise God, there is a better day coming. And if we look at the way the world is falling, things are falling into place. They're not falling apart. They're falling into place. We would say, wow, Jesus is going to come soon. He might even come before the Super Bowl. Are we sharing our gospel message with others? The time is short, folks. Are we sharing? You see, that's the hope of the believer. There's a place of, this world is a place of heartaches and trials. But you see, there's going to be that day of rest. There's coming that day of rest for the child in God where we can lay down the burdens of life and we're going to enter that peace of place, that place of peace and rest and safety where we're never going to be troubled again. There's coming that day of rest, that day we can lay down those burdens. There's going to be that day of reunion. Many have seen those that they love go on. It was a hard day. It was difficult to say goodbye to my mother-in-law. But we knew that she was in a better place, that God had called her home, and that we would see her again. It gave us peace. There's coming that day when we're going to meet again. We're going to meet the one who died on the cross for us to save us of our sins. The ultimate gift. And then there's going to be that day of reward. You see, so many have served in faithful silence. There's so many people here that serve at the church in silence that you don't even know what they do. But God hasn't missed anything. God sees it all. He knows every meal that you've missed because maybe you spent a time in prayer. He knows every dollar that you've given to help support the ministry. He sees it all. And one day we're going to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, make you rule over many things. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. And you see, finally, Moses gives a promise of help. Moses tells his father-in-law that God has spoken good concerning to Israel. And he's saying, the Lord did not redeem us to abandon us in the wilderness. He's going to go with us. He'll bless us, and he'll help us along the way to the promised land. And you see, as we journey towards heaven, we have those certain promises that we can count on. We have that divine helper in our life right now. He has promised what? To sustain us. Just as he led Israel and fed Israel in the wilderness with manna and the quail, he'll take care of each one of us. He will not abandon us. He has not brought us this far to leave us. Just like that poem, Footprints in the Sand. Oh, God, why did you leave me during my troubled times? There was only one set of footprints in the sand. Why did you leave me, God? I wasn't leaving you, I was carrying you. Those are God's footprints. He's carrying you. Whatever you're going through, that difficulty this morning, that trial, that tribulation, that heartache, God is there for you this morning. He will sustain us. He's also promised to sanctify us, to set us apart. He set Israel apart and made them holy, a separate people. And then when he saved you and me, he did the same thing for us. He made us into that new creation. But you see, he expects us to walk in that newness of life. We don't have to live like the world anymore. We can be different because he's enabled us, what, to be different. Are you different people this morning? He's promised to satisfy us. You see, Israel was never satisfied. If you read through the book of Exodus, they were never satisfied with what they received from the hand of God. They always wanted more. No matter how much they were given, they wanted more and more. But you see, those that learn to trust the Lord by faith will learn that he provides perfect satisfaction in whatever you have. And then you see, he's promised to secure us. God did what he promised. He brought Israel safely through into the promised land. Just like I just said, God did not save you to lose you somewhere along the way. He saved us for a purpose. And part of that purpose is to deliver us safely home to heaven. He saved us for keeps. Amen. When Hobab heard the invitation that Moses gave, what was his first response? Well, his response was no in verse number 30. But we find that he changed his mind. And then he went. We see that in Judges 1:16. The descendants of Moses, father-in-law, the Kenite, went up from the city of palms with the people of Judah to live among the inhabitants of the desert of Judah in the Negev near Arad. Hobab accepted the invitation. He was blessed along with Israel, just as Moses promised.